This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayikra. It's also going to be Shabbos Zachor. And so let's get right up to way with some points to ponder. And so we begin Sefer Vayikra with the statement, Vayikra Moshe. You know, the Medrash comments that whenever we have a Talmud Chacham who lacks das, Nevela Tova Heimenu, a carcass is better than he. And the Medrash proves this point from Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't enter Ol Moed until he was called. But why the comparison to Nevela? So the late great Lakewood Rosh Hashiva of Aaron Cutler's Atzal explained that if one doesn't act with Derech Eretz in his Torah study, then the Nevela is better than he, because through the process of Karbanos we learn how much Hashem loves us. And if a person's not consistent internally with the shell of Torah that he holds, then he's but an empty vessel. He's a dead container for what should possess life. We're told, Adam ki akrav mikem, the Medrash likens he who brings a karban to Adam Harishon. And Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, the famous founder of Kfar Aroeh and Rosh Hashiva of Kfar Aroeh and Eretz Yisrael, questioned why the comparison was to Adam and not to Jewish personalities. And so he answered that when the Mishkan was established, there was a revelation of Mamad Har Sinai, which returned the world to its pre-sin days at the time of creation. And the world of the carbon also begins with Adam at the time of creation of the worlds, and so we hope for the return to that status each time we mention Arvala Hashem and Chasi Udav Yerushalayim Kimei Olam, like the days of old, Ukeshanim Kadmanio. So Adam is the ultimate comparison at that point in process. We're also told that they should put it Pesach Oal Moed. They should shech the animal at El Pesach Oal Moed. Why is it important to highlight the doors to the Mishkan? What's the relevance? So the Rosh Hashiva of Or Reuven, Rav Bitzal Rudinsky, opined that the doors symbolize the takeaway of the Karban experience. When one realizes the purpose and power of being close to Hashem and interacting with Him in the Mikdash, so then the person becomes aware of the primary purposes in life and it permeates his entire existence. Going to the door shows you that you have the ability to step in. But we don't only talk about animal karbanos, we also talk about a karban mincha, kol mincha, and we're told, on the one hand, we're not allowed to allow this to become chametz, and also can't allow sourdough on the mizbeach, but at the same time, it needs to be al kol karban chatak riv melach, right? We're also told that it should be salted. So why is that? So Mordechai Gifter tells Rosh Hashiva explained that honey and sourdough are added ingredients, while salt merely brings out the flavor from that which is already there. Judaism also doesn't allow for new ingredients, but to flavor the present, that's an ideal. Now, Mzevach Shlomim Karbano, if a person is bringing, we're told at the beginning of the third parak of Sefer Vayikra, that if his karban is a feast piece offering, the stipler wonders, what's the purpose of a shlomim, a Zevach Shlomim, a feast piece offering? After all, if a karban is for someone's well-being, which is accomplished, what is accomplished by having an optional one? So utilizing the writing of the Mesilas Yesharim, the stipler suggests that when one is not into Zrizus internally, he or she should express it externally, and it can serve to awaken the fervor to help him or her improve. And so similarly, when one doesn't feel Avas Hashem fully, the love of God fully, then by donating a voluntary karban, one will be able to awaken inner feelings of love for Hashem and desire to serve Him. Rav Pam, the Rosh Hashiva Torah V'Das Atzal, adds that the lesson is quite strong for us today. Any Jew can improve his Avas Hashem by voluntarily taking upon himself some improvement of a mitzvah. The taking on of the voluntary aspect will inspire continuity. But we're also told at the end of the fourth parak, Asher Nasi Yecheta, when a Nasi sins, Rashi notes that the Asher Yador, praised be the generation where it has a leader who's ready to admit his flaw in order to achieve kapara. You know, Rav Shechter would often add to us that the generation that sets its standards on doing right rather than on being seen as flawless is a generation whose leaders are not afraid to admit when they're wrong. The Ben Ish Chai notes that the words Asher Nasi Yechata have as their abbreviation Ani. If the Nasi is all about Ani, he runs the risk of sin. If it's all about himself, he's going to fail. No, the secret is not to be about yourself. The secret is to have higher aspirations. And that's why in the fifth parak we're also told, Im lo sasig yado, if a person doesn't have the ability to afford two tziporim or two bnei yona, two doves or two turtle doves, so then he brings a different carbon. So the Sefer HaChinuch learns that the reason for the differences in the carbon here is a message that one should live within his or her means. Mishael HaMelech wonders, where did the Sefer HaChinuch get the idea from in regard to a carbon olav yored? Where do you get it especially from here that we should live within our means? So, Rav Shimon Schwab explained that a kachatas ola v'yorid comes not with two levels, as by Mitzorah and Yoledes, but rather with a third level of poverty. And the reason is that poverty often makes one cheat and steal from others, while one seeks his knees in the process and can't achieve them. Better you stay within your means. Better you don't go ahead and go to an extreme. Finally, in Hot Leaning, we're going to read Pasha Zachar this week, and Rebelski reminisced about how Rapam would remind people to remember Masa Amalek, not Mechias Amalek. And the reason for the difference, he explained, is that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is something that arouses passion and hatred, which don't foster the sense of closeness to Hashem that's necessary for the fulfillment of one's Avodas Hashem. It's just an arousing of hatred, which has no release. And so Rapam would say the mitzvah must be understood differently. He would say that it's a mitzvah to remember our own weaknesses when we're vulnerable due to our weak spots in our nation or due to our weirdness and lack of Yerushalayim. But if we turn the mitzvah onto ourselves, we'll be successfully prepared for it and we'll be ready to handle it. And that's maybe one of the things that we need to think about as we're standing at the cusp of Parshas Zachor. Finally, in the Haftorah, which also talks about the first time that there was a opportunity to destroy Amalek in the time of Shaul HaMelech, we're told by Achmoshol, Shaul took pity, and the Medrash at the beginning of Parshas Emor notes that Moshe asked Hashem why the first king of Am Yisrael was destined to die in the manner that he did. And Hashem answered, "What are you complaining to me for?" and said, "You should speak to the Kohanim who he killed in the city of Nov, because they're prosecuting him." That, the Medrash concludes, is why it says Emor al HaKohanim. The Sukkim specifically note that Shaul was removed as a king for not destroying Amalek. So why does the Medrash suggest otherwise? So a friend quotes the Reish Rav, who explained that Shaul's primary sin was his refusal to kill all of Amalek. But had it been for that sin alone, he could have excused himself by saying, "I'm a compassionate person. I couldn't bring myself to kill innocent men, women, and children." That would have been a human emotion, which is understandable. You know, sometimes a person may have trouble controlling his emotions. However, the refutation of such an argument was the incident with Nov, the city of Kohanim, where Shaul wasn't compassionate. He wiped out an entire city of Jewish priests. And so Nov remained the prosecutor, pointing to the evidence. "No, Shaul, you're not a compassionate individual, because if you were, you wouldn't have killed us out. And so since you killed us out, you should have also not taken mercy on Agag as well." Sometimes in life we need to come to our understandings there are challenges in life, yes, but we need to be honest across the board, and we have the opportunity to do so if we make it our business to do so. And when we finally achieve it, we will achieve not only a Shabbat Shalom, but a Shabbat Shalom to all.